Well, I wasn't going to do it. I talked to my wife, and we decided that this year was going to be different. We weren't going to do it. We talked it over. But then I saw the Black Friday deals. So, sure enough, we were at Walmart, not only on Black Friday, mind you, but on Thanksgiving. Go ahead, shame me. Go ahead, just judge me. Look, eyes of... Nathan, can you put that picture up real quick? This is me, two pictures of me, right? The only thing better than one, Ron, is... Okay, so there, you can see this lady behind me is like, wow, he's taking pictures, that's great, I better smile. So... This was standing next to a pile of stuff that I'm not going to tell you what because I don't want to ruin it. I took it both angles, this way and this way, so you can kind of see both sides, you know. There I am in the midst of the crowd. This is probably about 10, 15 minutes before the mayhem starts. I went on YouTube. I was going to show you guys some videos of the Black Friday mayhem, but there was too much swearing. So on all the videos that I watched, people just kind of screaming at each other. So I thought, well, we better not show that. But there was crazy mayhem. And the thing was, the only reason I found myself at Walmart on Thanksgiving in the middle of this crowd of wonderful people was because they made an offer I couldn't refuse. They made me an offer I couldn't refuse. As cliche as it is, it was true. It was an offer I couldn't refuse. The deal was just too good. My wife's like, we shouldn't go, but you know, this is going to take care of Christmas shopping for us, and it's going to save us, you know, like a significant amount of money, $200-$300, you know, if we go and get it on this day, waiting this craziness. So we did it. We did it. And you know, the truth is that the deal, it had power over me on some level or another. The truth is that if I look back at it, that I couldn't really say no. I couldn't say no. Even though I kind of wanted to, I didn't want to be out in that. I'd much rather be like sleeping on the couch at PJ's house, you know, just working up the energy to go have another piece of pumpkin pie or playing games with my family or doing something like that. But it had power over me. It had power over me to coerce me, to convince me to go out into the craziness. And when something has power, when someone has power over a person to make them do what they don't want, it's called slavery. It's called bondage. It's slavery. When someone has the power to make you do what you don't want to do, it's slavery. It's bondage. It's a master-slave relationship. Master says, do this. Slave says, okay. Okay. And I know you're thinking, man, I'm not a slave. That might be you, Ron, but I'm no slave to nobody. Nobody tells me what to do. I do what I want. Listen to a little bit of the language of slavery, okay? Now, this isn't the same language that maybe was in our past as a country, but this is what it looks like today, I think, for much of us. It sounds like this. We say things like, I had to, right? Or I couldn't pass that up. I couldn't pass that up, right? What about, she made me. She made me do it, right? You ever hear that from your kids or you say it yourself? Well, you know, she made me do it. What about, I just couldn't let them fill in the blank. You know, I just couldn't let them get away with that, with saying that to me, with doing that to me, with treating me that way. Okay? What was I going to do? Right? We ask that one all the time. It's rhetorical, of course, as in there was no other option. What was I going to do? This person did this to me. This person said this thing to me. I was in this situation, and what was I going to do? Now, my message today is not about consumerism, so you guys can all just take a deep breath and go, phew, okay? Because after all, I was out shopping, and I got amazing deals, okay? So we can talk about our loot later. But consumerism did have a pull on me. It had control over me, and it comes in all different kinds of varieties. What is your identified master? Those phrases help you identify what the master is in your life. What the thing is that controls you. what the thing is that has power or sway over you to push you to do what you probably don't want to do. Those kind of phrases help identify it. What about the ones we don't say out loud, the internal dialogue that we have? Like this, I'll show them, right? You don't say that out loud because it would look stupid, but you say it inside your head. I'll show them, or just you wait, right? You know, just you wait. As soon as I get to him, yeah. You know, or just this once. Just this once. I'm only going to drink this Coke just this once. You know, I know I'm on a diet or whatever. I'm just going to do it this once, you know. Or just this once, I'm going to go hang out with them. Just this once, I'm going to take this drink of this thing I know I shouldn't have. Just this once, I'm going to go to this party. Just this once, I'm going to do this. Just this once. Just this once. Inside our, in our mind, right? One won't hurt. Just one won't hurt. One won't hurt, right? These are classic cliched phrases that we don't dare say out loud because people would be like, oh my gosh, you hear what you just said? But it goes on in our head, all right? I'll be okay. I got this. I can control it, okay? I can control it. It's none of their business. I love that one. It's none of their business. What's that? That's just like a smoke screen for don't talk to me about that thing I don't want to talk about because if I think about it, I know I'm wrong and I don't want to go there, okay? These are all language of slavery, bondage, master, slave, like these relationships that we get ourselves in. Maybe you're still not buying into it. Jesus got pushed back when he first presented this idea in John chapter 8. I want to go there with you this morning. John chapter 8. And he was talking to religious people. People who were semi-religious. People who kind of had their ducks in a row, so to speak, as at least in their own mind. And this is what he says. In John chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 31 through 33. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So they even claimed to believe him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus says, look, if you'll follow me, you'll continue my truth, you'll be my disciples. And the truth, I love this verse, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is what Jesus says. And they're like, what do you mean free? I'm already free. Okay? Yes, in Jewish history, back at the Old Testament, there were many times that the nation of Israel was conquered and enslaved by other people groups, forced to do manual labor, forced to give up their traditions, their rights, their culture in lots of ways, and forced to work as slaves. So this generation, though, they're saying, we're not in slavery anymore. We're Abraham's kids. We have the freedom to do what we want. Why are you telling me I'm not free? I'm free. I'm free. And many of us would say that this morning because I'm American, right? I live in a free country. How many of you ever say that? It's a free country, right? We always say, I live in America. It's a free country. We're free. But I was in bondage on Thanksgiving afternoon to a mob of people trying to buy something because it was a good deal. And I would guess that there are things in your life that if you were honest with yourself, like me, you would say, that thing has control over me. That thing has a sway over me that's more than I can manage. It's more than I can manage. And this is what Jesus was saying. He's like, if you know the truth, if you knew the truth, if you know the truth, it will make you free, and you'll be free indeed. They said, I can quit any time I want. I'm not a slave. I'm free. My answer to the I can quit anytime I want is, but what if your wanter's broke? What if your wanter is corrupted, right? What if you never want it because your wanter has been damaged in some way, and so you don't have the ability to switch the gears on your wanter, okay? Because I've been there with my wanter broke inside of me, not wanting to change. I don't have to. I just could do what I want. Remember the same language. I had to. I couldn't pass that up. She made me. I couldn't just let them. And what was I going to do? The reality is we're all serving something. All of us are serving something. We were created to serve. We were put on the planet to serve. We weren't created to just serve ourselves. We were created to serve something. And so we all do. We gravitate towards that to fill this need inside of us for serving. Some people go to philanthropic things, to like charities, and they volunteer their time, which is great. That's awesome. Some people serve God. Some people serve other things. But we all serve something. Jesus identifies the master that has many of our hearts in John chapter 8, verse 34. This next verse. After they said, "We're free," how do you say that we're not free? He says this. He answers them. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is servant of sin." Now there's the big dirty S word that nobody wants to hear. Sin. Sin. What Jesus says to them is, even though you believe in me, even though you call yourself religious, even though you want to do all these great things and you don't think you're in bondage, if you sin, you serve sin. When you sin, that's your master. What is sin? What is sin anyways? Sin is this idea that I could do it on my own and I don't need God. Jesus goes on and explains it like this. He says there's two families, two spiritual families, God's family and Satan's family, right? And Jesus, he gets in their face. He says, "You're of your father, the devil." I'm like, "My dad's not the devil. My dad's Abraham. I thought we went over this already. I'm confused." And he says, "No, your dad is Satan because you do the things that Satan does." What things does Satan do? Satan got ticked off at God a long time ago and said, "I don't want to do it your way, God. I want to do it my way. I want to operate outside of your power, your control. I think I can run this universe just as good as you, maybe even better." It's a tendency that people who are in second in command, lieutenants, so to speak, it's easy to fall into, right? Because you don't have to carry all the weight of responsibility, and yet you got all the ideas. And so you just get the big head and get stupid. Well, that's what happened to Satan. And so he decided he wanted to operate outside of God. "I don't need God. I don't have to do it his way. I don't want your rules. I don't want everything that you want me to do, God. I'm going to go and make my own way." God says, "Fine, go ahead. But you're kicked out of heaven and you're on your own." And many of us do the same thing. That's what sin is. Satan is the master of the idea that I don't need God and I can do it on my own. Sin is the result of living out those ideas. When we say, "I don't have to do it God's way, I can do it my own way," that's called sin. Everything that we do outside of God's way is sin. Okay? It's just a word for it. And you know what? It would work. Except for one big problem. Okay? I call it a big problem. You might not think it's a big deal, but I think it is. What's wrong with it? James 1:16. James 1:16 and 17. James 1, it's a tiny little book out by Peter, if you could find it. Verses 16 and 17, it says this. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." It means don't get this wrong, okay? "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Okay, what does that mean? Another one. Let me show you another one. 1 John 4:8, and then I'll explain both of these together. 1 John 4:8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Okay, so we got two verses. One verse in James says that all the good stuff in the universe, all the good gifts come from God. And then you have James, 1 John chapter 4, that tells you, for example, that God is love. Here's how it works. You see, God is the source of everything good. He is the source of love. He is the source of peace. He is the source of joy. He's the source of all of these things that we want, okay? So, If you say, I don't want you, God, I don't want to do it your way, I don't want to live your way, I don't like that. That's fine, you could do that, but you also are saying, I'm okay with not having love, joy, peace, gentleness. All these other things that I kind of want those still. You know, I want love in my life, and it is true, my love life's been a little messed up maybe, you know, but that can't be related. Maybe it is. Okay, yeah, my life's not as peaceful as I'd like, you know, and I feel like I'm getting these situations and the drama and the anxiety and the stress, but that can't be related to me not living in God's kind of world. Or is it? Or is it? What if it's true? What if it's true? What if God really did make the world, okay? A lot of you guys are Christians. You go to this church, so you probably believe that. But if you're visiting this morning, you know, I'm not going to make any assumptions. I don't want to push anything, idea on your head and say, well, I know you're already thinking this, because you're not, right? What if God did make the world, though? What if he did create everything? What if you picked the wrong team? What if you picked the wrong team? What if you end up picking, I'm doing it my own way, which is translated into I'm serving this other guy who had that idea a long time ago, Satan, instead of God's team. Imagine this. Imagine you spend $5,000 to go and take your family on vacation. Is that enough money to take a family on vacation? Is that sounds sort of right? It better be, okay? So $5,000. You spend $5,000, you're going to go on vacation to Disney. Is that not enough money? Okay, maybe. Yes? No? We're to do prices right, okay? Higher or lower? $1, Bob. Okay. So you spend $5,000, whatever money you got to take. You spend a bunch of money to take your family to Disney. Who likes Disney? Yay, okay. We got some people. Who hates Disney? All right, so we'll just assume you like it. Who's indifferent to Disney? Who's not raising their hand? No how, no way. Gotcha. So you spend a ton of money to go to Disney. You get to Disney, you go to check in at the hotel, and you look at your ticket, and they say, okay, we're going to check you in, and you notice on your ticket that there's a little typo. No big deal. Instead of saying D-I-S-N-E-Y, it says D-I-S-M-E-Y. Okay? Like, Disney. Diss me. Huh. I don't know what that could be. Probably just a typo. It's no big deal. So you go ahead and you check in and you notice as you're walking through that all of the logos, instead of saying D-I-S-N-E-Y, they say D-I-S-M-E-Y. You're like, wow, dismay. I don't know. Probably just a weird typo. It's fine. You know, the hotel looks great and stuff. You're walking through the hallways. Then you get to your room and you open the door and there's no furniture. No couch, no bed, no nothing. Thankfully, there's a toilet. You're like, wow, this is a mix-up. So you call down to the front office. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Hudson. We'll get that taken care of for you. No problem. Hey, why don't you guys go ahead to the park, and when you come back, it'll be fine, and no big deal. Okay, so that's great. So we're like, okay, we're going to the park. They're going to fix our room. You go to the park. You go down to the bus stop. No buses run on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's Monday. What in the world? You know, what kind of a schedule is this? You know, there's the big dismay sign, dis-M-E-Y, and then no bus is running. So you call a taxi, you ride the taxi there, they charge you an arm and a leg, you get out, you get in the gate, you know, you go in the gate. First thing you see is a cotton candy machine. Kids go crazy, cotton candy, let's go. You go to the cotton candy machine. So we're sorry, sir, we're out of cotton candy today. Oh, okay. Well, hey, let's ride a ride, you know. Let's just ride a ride. It'd be great. So you stand in line for 2.5 hours, and you get to the ride. You sit down in the ride, right? You sit down on the ride, and all these other people get on with you, and you're like, yes. And they're like,
please put all personal baggage and storage in the storage in front of you, and put down the bar, and please keep all arms and legs in the vehicle, and
you know, all that good stuff that they say, right? The bars come down, and they check it all, and they're checking all the seat belts and stuff. And then you're like, okay, here we go. And then everybody waves. They're like this. And the ride doesn't go anywhere. Just kind of sit there for a little bit. And all of a sudden, the people in front of you go, woo! People behind you, you look around and they're going, whoa, you know, right? People in front of you, they put their arms down and grab the bar. Okay? And then all of a sudden, everybody in unison goes, and they say,
please exit the vehicle to your right. Don't forget all personal baggage and belongings.
And you get out. You're like, but we didn't go anywhere. The ride just... And you get out, and all everybody gets out, and you walk off the ride, and you're scratching your head. You see the track, and you say, what's going on? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. You got ripped off. You got ripped off. You bought the off-brand ticket. Somebody scammed you. Somebody scammed you. They cheated you. You thought you were buying a ticket to Disney, and you went to this Dis-me, and it was not the same thing. It looked like the same thing, but it was not the same thing. You got conned. You got conned. And we wouldn't put up with that. We wouldn't stand for that. But see, that's what happens. Sin can only offer you a cheap counterfeit, but it still costs the same. You're still serving something. You still have a master. You still have to say yes, just like I did to the stupid Black Friday deal. Okay, I'll go. I'll stand in line like cattle. And what am I doing? I couldn't refuse the offer. We still have to say yes. We still serve something. But the problem is, what we're all the energy that we put into trying to live apart from God, it still costs us energy. It still costs us mental anguish and all of the other stuff that living costs. But it doesn't give you the same thrills. It doesn't give you the real thing. Like love. You will never experience true love in a marriage relationship. I'm sorry to break your heart. But they're a flawed person and you're a flawed person. And together, you're flawed. It doesn't mean we don't try. It doesn't mean we don't work at it. But the only place you're going to experience true love is through a human-God relationship where he looks at you and says, I love you just the way you are. And I know you can't do anything about it, but I'm here to do something about it. That's where you're going to find love. True peace is not going to come from meditation and all these other things. Yes, you should work on that stuff. You should learn all the techniques and skills you can. But that true peace can only come from God who created it and is the source of it. Everything else is a counterfeit. It's fake. It's a cheap knockoff. And that's the problem. John 8:36, back in our text, he says this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not fake free, but free indeed. You know, certain places smell different. You notice that? Like you go to Walmart, and Walmart's got like a Walmart smell. You go to Target or Kmart, and Kmart's got like the Kmart smell. You go to KFC, it's got the KFC smell. You know, Subway's got a smell. Who'd have thunk, you know? You go in these places, and they have this smell, and you could be blindfolded. You'd be like, I'm in Subway. I know I'm in Subway. I'll have a BMT. You know, you know you're there because of the smell. Well, you know you've been serving sin when the world itself starts to smell like emptiness. It's got a certain smell to it. It's got a certain feeling. And the feeling is emptiness. And if you're starting to feel empty, if the things you're putting energy into don't seem like they're paying off at all, that's a sign. You've probably been chasing this sin guy, chasing ideas away from God. That's a sign. You know. I know in my life. When I start to feel empty, when I start to feel like, man, I'm just bored. I got nothing going. I'm just kind of this like blah, like, you know, when you're sitting at home on a Saturday afternoon and you're like, I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to play video games. I don't want to go to the store. I don't want to do anything. And just kind of empty. Probably been serving sin. Or at least you haven't been serving the real thing. You've probably been chasing counterfeits. Some of you are empty this morning. In spite of family that came in for Thanksgiving, in spite of the big meal that you had, all the fun times, you just kind of sat there through the whole meal and you were just like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Am I broken? What's going on? Something wasn't right. Your marriage may feel empty. Your relationships with others feel empty. Very little satisfaction. So how do you break the bondage of slavery? How do you break the bondage of slavery? Thomas Jefferson said, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." And lots of people misquote that, so I thought I would too. It's a joke. It's okay. But even Thomas Jefferson knew and understood that to buy freedom costs life. Freedom costs life. They recently did a reassessment of the death toll from the Civil War in 2012. And they found it used to be like 618,000. Now they say it's closer 20% more, 750,000 lives lost. As our country fought to abolish the idea that it's okay to enslave a person. It cost 750,000 lives. And that was just the beginning. That wasn't even the beginning of the civil rights movement and everything else. It cost life to buy freedom. It cost life. That's the truth. And the truth is, 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth and gave his life to buy your freedom. It's a deal. Here's the deal. You accept God's purchasing of you to then come and serve him, and you could get rid of your old master, who's counterfeit, who's fake, who's just trying to con you into taking a vacation to dismay instead of the real thing. He is. That's the deal. That's what salvation is. Jesus' body was given as a ransom to purchase you from your master, sin. And he's a new master. He offers himself to us to make you a new creature, to transform you. Let's all stand together this morning. I wonder this morning if that smell of emptiness is kind of surrounding you in your life right now. Maybe you know God, maybe you don't know God, but it's there. It's kind of like hanging thick in the air. Today is your day. This morning is your morning to do something about it. To lay down the ideas that I could do it without God. I don't need that. I don't need your ideas, God, to lay those thoughts down and to instead say, I'll accept it. I'll accept that I'm serving myself. I'm serving this other idea. I'm serving sin. And I'm going to lay that down and instead serve you, God, and your ideas. If you want to do that, then today is your day. Today is your day to make it real. And how do we do that? First off, it's really simple. You confess to God, God, I've been living counterfeit. I've been serving sin. I've been serving ideas away from you. I have. I confess. I've done it. You say that to him. Second, you ask forgiveness. Please forgive me. That can be a scary part because I haven't been forgiven sometimes when I desperately needed it by other people. But when I went to God, and I desperately needed it, and I didn't deserve it, he gave it to me freely. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus will give you that if you'll ask him. So you confess, you ask forgiveness, and then finally, you accept your new master. God, I was born to serve you, to follow you, to walk with you. And I want the real thing. I want what you have. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. All these things. I want this, God. And he will come into your heart. He will come come into your heart and be your Lord. He will. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll show you how to live. So this morning, if you want to do that, I'm going to make it pretty simple for you. We've got some people that are going to go to the back, that'll be standing in the back to deal with you, to talk with you, to walk you through the process, and pray with you. So you don't have to do it alone. You don't even have to do it alone. So if that's you this morning, if you say, this is my morning, I want to make this decision, just step out of your pew right now. Just go. Just go. Just step to the side, push people out of your way. You did it at Black Friday. You can do it now. Just step out of the pew, into the aisle, walk to the back, and someone will meet you there. Someone will meet you there. Talk to you. Right now. Don't wait. Now's your chance. Just go to the back. Just go. No one's going to make fun of you. No one's going to judge you. Today's your day. Don't waste another week of emptiness. If you're a Christian, you identify as a Christian. You say, Ron, I did that. I asked Jesus into my life, but I'm still dealing with the emptiness stuff. Well, that's a different thing. That's because it's easy for us to go back to our old master, to go back to our old ways. It's just natural. It's what we fall into. It's a tendency that we just kind of take back on us sometimes. And what we need to do is talk to somebody. We confess our sin to God and are forgiven, but James 5:17 says when we confess our sins to another person, then that's where healing comes from. Sometimes just talking to another person and praying with them is all you need to help get that punch in the arm, to get back up and to go and to walk again. If that's you this morning, just step out. Just go to the back. Just go to the back. Meet someone there. Pray with them this morning. All right, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Thank you for eternal life. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to serve sin anymore. It doesn't have to be our master. We can have a new master. We can have you as our Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for cheating on you, for serving other things. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning, forgive us. And if there's anyone who still would like to ask you into their heart, God, I pray they would grab someone after the service and talk to them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.